This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I look forward, with the consent of the Senate, to pursuing your hopeful and ambitious agenda as Secretary of State. Mr. President, it is an honor to be asked to serve your administration and my country once again. And it is humbling to imagine succeeding my dear friend and mentor, Colin Powell.
National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice speaking to President Bush and the American public in a brief public address at the White House. Pending Senate approval, Dr. Rice will succeed Colin Powell as Secretary of State. NPR Senior News Analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And this makes now 6 of 15 first-term cabinet members mm-hmm. who've tendered their resignations. The Agricultural Secretary Ann Veneman, Spencer Abraham at Energy Education Secretary Rod Paige. President Bush has selected Margaret Spellings to replace Mr. Page. Now,
and Albert Gonzalez to be Attorney General.
Interesting
appointment.
Now, second-term replacements in the cabinet are common. President Clinton, we discover, had 7. Do you notice anything unusual about the replacements that the administration has named here so far?
Well, there's one thing they all have in common, that all these 6 have long-standing personal relationships with President Bush in the White House or back to the days in Turkey. Also, it appears what this does is to take people
Days in Texas, probably.
What?
Perhaps thinking of Thursday, you said Turkey.
You're kidding. I don't believe I did that.
The country or Turkey the entree.
Oh, Freud.
He pardoned the Thanksgiving
he
turkey.
He pardoned the turkey.
Yes.
And my turkey as well. But what is interesting about this is that he appears to consolidate power in his own hands, a little like what I think President Nixon tried to do in his second term, and that was to name people whom he could very, very easily control, thus keeping all the departments in line.
Now, what effect do you think Secretary Powell's departure may have on U.S. foreign policy in years to come?
Well, I don't know. I think what we'll see is a lot more of the impulses of the president being evidenced. I don't think that she will stand in the way of anything he wants to do. I don't think we'll hear so much anymore about feuds between the State Department and the Defense Department. Mm-hmm. Don't yet know, by the way, whether Don Rumsfeld will stay, although some people think he will. I think that whatever the president wants to do is going to get a lot more respect from everybody involved. Foreign policy will be more cohesive. Whether more coherent, I don't know.
Secretary Powell made an important declaration this week. He said Iran's working on developing a delivery system for nuclear warheads. And an official with the International Atomic Energy Agency said Iran is producing large amounts of uranium.
Yeah.
The Iranian government has denied these claims.
Right.
How serious do you see this turn of events?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if Secretary Powell was reading from a leftover script on Iraq. It all sounds so funny. And yet I'm sure that is not true. The evidence that Iran is working to adapt missiles to deliver nuclear bombs, the Post says that comes from what is called a walk-in source, a person who walks in, gives you information voluntarily. Mm-hmm. It also appears that it's not verified. I do not know why, at this stage, Colin Powell chooses to get out in front on this story, which had a faint sound of Iraq all over again, except for the invasion part. I don't think that we will have another invasion, in part because I don't think we have enough troops left for another invasion.
Well, the International Atomic Energy Agency, though, is saying something very similar to that. It's
no, but they're not talking about so much about the delivery mechanism. They're talking about
the ambition represents.
to become nuclear. Mm-hmm. What this does is to combine it and say not only are they working on a nuclear device, but they have a new thing to deliver that device.
In Iraq, 2-day meeting of political parties has led to now stories are coming out about a possible postponement of national elections scheduled for January.
Yes.
Ibrahim al-Janabi, who is considered the right-hand man of Prime Minister Alawi, told the Boston Globe that he said, quote, "I don't think in this short period we can establish security and solve technical problems facing the election. I think the delay or postponing of the election is more likely than holding them on time."
That seems to be true. I'm sure they wouldn't have said it unless they felt they had to say it. And this is not very good news for Iraq, and is also not very good news for the Bush administration. The president has been getting a big ride out of saying democracy in Iraq is on its way. In January, they will have elections, and now there is a possibility, at least, that in January they would not have elections. You know, it was always thought that if they ever, the Marines and the Army, took over Fallujah, that once the back of the insurgency had been broken that way, that that would then provide enough security to have elections. Well, they have more or less broken the back of this in Fallujah, but it's moved to a whole lot of other cities. And there is still apparently not enough of what you would call security to be able to go ahead. Now, this is mainly true of the Sunnis. I mean, the Kurds wouldn't mind having it now. The Shiites might have it now. The Sunnis are the ones who say, our part of this country is not yet secure enough for elections. And Alawi, who is Sunni, is going to have to listen to that.
Here in the United States, by the end of today, the U.S. Congress might pass some kind of intelligence reform bill. And also government appropriations that are necessary to keep the government running. Why does it take so long?
Yeah, because this Congress is what the Congress is. That is to say, they find it more interesting to add little things, subtract little things, do favors for the various lobbyists than to really do that. The fact that you can add anything to any bill. Mm-hmm. So here you have this vast appropriations bill, $338 billion to run all of the government except the Defense Department and Homeland Security, which were provided for, thank heaven. And now they are on what is supposed to be the last day, already in overtime, and still fighting what goes into what riders go into an appropriations bill.
Mm-hmm. Elections delay the process in a year like this, don't they?
Elections delay the process in the sense that if it's controversial, they wait until after the election to really do something about it. Yes.
So it gives them an opportunity to avoid reaching resolution. I want to ask you about something, an important story towards the end of the week. A television reporter in Rhode Island, Jim
yes.
Terracani of WJAR, was convicted of criminal contempt this week for refusing to reveal the name of a source who gave him an FBI surveillance videotape of a local politician taking a bribe
right. In
a major corruption investigation there. Dan, you know what it's like to be threatened with jail if you don't reveal a source.
Well, yeah, back in 1976, there was, for a moment, the possibility that I would go to jail also for refusing to reveal a source. And so, obviously, my mind is made up on the subject, mm-hmm. and obviously I will say what you would expect me to say at this point, that if this country is going to be able to find out what goes wrong, they will have to have a press that is free to do it. And if the press is doing it, they will sometimes have to get sources who are whistleblowers or other kinds of sources and in order to be able to get that information. If you threaten to throw these reporters into jail or fine them endless amounts of money, you are hurting, in the first place, the American public, which will not be able to get this information. If it is a question of, I don't dare ask you for this off the record or for my own background use, I don't dare to do that because if I do that, I may end up in jail. You simply limit reporting. You limit a free press. And what would you expect me to say other than, as far as I'm concerned, a free press is pretty well vital to this country.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.